Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
Well, hey, everyone. So glad to have you with us in service here. May y'all look good. Thank you so much, everyone, joining us online as well. So excited that you're with us for part two of our series. And I got to tell you, I've got some great feedback from you. We started this series last week, and man, we had a good time, and we got another good one today. And really, the idea for this series is simple, that you ask, we answer from God's word, and then you decide. It's a series unlike anything we've ever done. And just like last week, I want to kind of start us off a little bit lighthearted, because you guys asked some doozies of some questions that I'm going to tackle. I'm going to try to answer three of your questions today. But first, let's start out a little bit lighthearted. And again, I hope you'll respond by raising a hand in the room, giving a little holler. Respond online if you're watching live on Facebook or YouTube and you got the chat open. But I want to ask you one quick kind of lighthearted question. I still think it's an important question, but here it is. All right, so get ready to vote with your hand or with your holler. But here it is. Who makes the best fried chicken sandwich? Okay, I want to know. And so if you think Popeyes makes the best fried chicken, so we got lots of hands up, more than I thought. All right, respond online as well. Put your hand down. Who here thinks Chick-fil-A makes the best fried? Okay, holy chicken, right? God's chicken. All right, hands down. What about this? Who thinks Grandma makes the best fried chicken sandwich? No love for Grandma in this service. I hope you're voting online. We got a lot of people watching online. Hopefully, Grandma's getting some love too. My grandma, she used to make fried quail nuggets, and man, they were good. And so maybe your grandma's not. Anyways, we're gonna keep going here. So we all got different opinions, and in fact, some of you voted for the first two. You're like Popeyes and Chick-fil-A. I don't know how that works. How they both could have the best, but we all got different opinions. We've all got different things that we like, and we said this last week, I'll say it again, we're all entitled to our opinions, but not everybody's entitled to the facts. And honestly, the Bible is crystal clear that you and me, we need to know why we believe what we believe. It's not a blind faith, it's a reasonable faith, that we need to be informed about God. We need to be informed from the word of God. And so I want to take you quickly to our theme verse for this series. I didn't share this last week, week one, but I want to make sure I share it today. And if you got a Bible, I'm going to give you a lot of scripture references. You're just going to have to write them down, even if you're quick turning digitally or with your paper copy. But I want you to actually turn to this one. This one's not a reference. This is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. This is our theme verse for this entire series. And I'm going to read out of the NIV. And here's what it says, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. So it's not a blind faith, it's a reasonable faith. But check this out. I know far too many Christians that forget the last part of this verse, okay? How do you know that, Pastor? Because I see what they post on social media, all right? Let's not forget this last sentence. But do this with gentleness and respect. Gentleness and respect. And so that's my heart in this series. That's our heart. I want all of our hearts to be that way for this series. And so I want us to pray, and then we're going to jump into your first question. And man, we're going to have some fun here today. But let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. And I thank you, God, for every single person representing our church family that's here in the room and watching from many other rooms. God, I'm so excited about what you're going to speak as we go on a hunt in your word. And as we ask some big questions and as we dig in, I pray, God, that we would learn what your word has to say. I pray, God, that we would learn that your word is so important. It helps us. It's a roadmap. It's a guide. And so may you speak so clearly. And I pray, God, for anybody underneath the sound of my voice that's far from you, God, I pray that today they would come on home. I pray today they would begin again a fresh relationship with you, that they begin that journey walking with you and growing in their faith. That's called discipleship. I pray that would start today for many. We love you so much, and we trust you in advance with expectation for what you're going to do. And God, we pray for our Astros. Everybody counted us out, but we are not out. And I pray tonight, God, we would start this new series well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And man, some people keep telling me, like, stop praying for sports teams because they don't do so great when you pray. Well, that just means you're not praying, okay? So you got to join your prayers with me, and we're going to pray for our Astros. And all right, I want to jump into the first question that you asked, and it was a really interesting one. Those that asked this question, so interesting. Here's the first one. You can write this down if you're taking notes. You asked, if my pet dies, will it go to heaven? Like if my pet dies, will it go to heaven? Now, we all know, let's get on common ground, that all dogs go to heaven, but all cats go straight to hell, right? We know that. So let's just move on to the next question. Just kidding. All right, just kidding. I offended like a third of our church just now, including some staff members. We got staff members that got multiple cats, okay? And so I love you. I'm joking. I hope you still love me. Now I know you want to know because you asked this question. You're thinking like what about my cuddles? Is my cuddles going to join me in heaven one day? And I'll tell you this, that if your dog Cuddles repents of his sins and surrenders his life to Jesus Christ, then he's going to be in heaven. And so all you got to do is everybody bring your pets next Sunday, and I'm going to lead them to the Lord for you, all right? That's a joke. That's a joke. But seriously, I know this. The reason why you ask this question is because we love our pets. In fact, most people consider pets to be a part of the family. Like the decade or more for some of our pets, just the closeness, the deep bond. And so I 100% get this question. And I understand why you asked it. And honestly, I've prayed with many people throughout the years who have lost their pet. In fact, it's not just a kid thing. I've prayed for many adults in our church family, like this one, that have lost a pet, like grieving the loss of a pet. So again, I understand, and you need to know this, that God cares for what you care for. And so let's get to the Bible. And in fact, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. The Bible is actually silent regarding an afterlife for animals. It's silent. And so I don't see anything in Scripture that omits pets from heaven, but I also don't see anything that promises that they'll be in heaven. Now, we don't see an afterlife for animals listed in the Bible, but here's what we do see, okay? Here's what we do see in Scripture. We know this, that God cares for all creation. Can I get an amen in God's house? We know that God created animals. We know that God saved animals on the ark. And we also know that God likened his son Jesus to a lion and a lamb. But not just that, the Bible tells us, I'm going to give you a few references here, so get ready to write down the reference. The Bible tells us that there are animals in eternity. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 25, you should write that down. Even Jesus is coming again on a white horse. Revelation 19, 11. But again, I know why you're asking, because you're asking about your pet bird, your pet turtle, your dog. And I'll tell you this. Pastorally and theologically, when we're in heaven with Christ, we're not going to long for something else, okay? When we're in heaven with Christ, we're not going to want something more. We're not going to wish somebody else was there. I'll tell you this, we will be fully satisfied in Christ. Revelation 21, verse 4. So I'll say this, and we will move on to the next one. If you want to think, I mean this sincerely, if you want to think and believe that your pet's going to be with you in heaven one day, I've got zero problem with you thinking that. I've got zero problem with you thinking that. It doesn't bother me whatsoever. All right, second question that you asked, and this question was actually number one this week. Here it is. Write this down. You asked about dinosaurs. Like, tell me about some dinosaurs, Pastor. Tell me, like, what's going on with that? How did they become extinct? Like what's happening here? And this is a very interesting question, and I'm so glad that you asked it. It was number one. And so let's start from the beginning. Let's start with the word dinosaur, okay? And try not to get ahead of me too much just yet, guys. Let's start with the word dinosaur. It has its roots in the Greek, and here's what it means: terrible lizard. Would you write that down if you haven't already? Terrible lizard. Now, that's not really hard for us to imagine if you've like seen Jurassic Park movies and Jurassic World movies, right? And this term was actually invented in 1841 by Sir Richard Owen. And before he came up with this term dinosaur, meaning terrible lizard, a lot of people referred to them as dragons. Now, I want to take you to Job for a moment. And I'm going to give you time to turn there if you're able to. It's right before the book of Psalms, if you're not so familiar with the Bible. But I want to take you to two places in Job that are very interesting as we talk about dinosaurs. Job chapter 40, and we're going to start in verse 15, read through verse 17, and then we're going to switch to the next chapter. But check this out. This is really, really interesting as we talk about dinosaurs. Here's what God says to Job. This is a quote, God having a conversation with him. And here's what he says, Job chapter 40, starting in verse 15. Look at Behemoth, which I made along with you. He's talking to Job, and which feeds on grass like an ox. What strength it has in its loins. What power in the muscles of its belly. Check this out, verse 17. Its tail sways like a cedar. Like that's a big tail, y'all. Sways like a cedar. The sinews of its thighs are close knit. Now you could read more about Behemoth and what God describes to Job, but I want you to write this down, okay? So write down the word Behemoth. Here's what it means in the original language. This is Hebrew here. It means beast, okay? If you're taking notes, write that down. And some Bible scholars believe that God is describing to Job a hippopotamus. But last time I checked, hippos did not have tails like cedars, right? And so could it be a dinosaur? Possibly. If you got your Bible open, go to the next chapter. This is really interesting. Job chapter 41. Now, we've got verses 12 through 19, but I'm going to skip through the middle of it for time's sake. But here's what it says, Job 41, starting in verse 12. I will not fail to speak of Leviathan's limbs, its strength and its graceful form. Who can strip off its outer coat? Who can penetrate its double coat of armor? Who dares open the doors of its mouth, ring it about with fearsome teeth? Now skip down to verse 18. Its snorting throws out flashes of light. Its eyes are like the rays of dawn. Flames stream from its mouth. Sparks of fire shoot out. Now, keep in mind, Job is a wisdom book, and it's also poetic literature. And so it is a little bit challenging to interpret, but here's what the word Leviathan means. If you're taking notes, write this down. Still Hebrew. Leviathan means sea monster or dragon. Sea monster or dragon. And some people believe that God is referring to like a giant crocodile or maybe a whale. But last time I checked, neither one of those breathed fire, right? So kind of interesting. Could chapter 41 and chapter 40, could it be referring to a dinosaur? Maybe. Now, let's talk creation for a moment. When you ask a question like this, what about dinosaurs? More questions need to be addressed. Questions like how old the earth is or how young the earth is. I got my teaching hat on again today. And then also, like, what happened to dinosaurs? Like, what took place? Now, as far as creation and the earth goes, among Christian scientists, there are a couple of major theories as you look at the creation account in Genesis. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of theories, but I want to give you two major theories. If you're taking notes, you're going to write this down. There are Christians that hold to, number one, an old earth theory. And maybe you're one of them. An old earth theory. Now, there are a lot of people, a big group of people, that don't take the 6 days of creation as literal days, but that one day could actually be as long as God wanted it to be. Why? Because he's God and he operates outside of time
and space. And so old Earth theory people would say that, yes, the Earth could be millions or billions of years old, as geological data might portray. And if this was the case, I'm teaching you some things today. If this was the case, the dinosaurs possibly could have died out well before Adam and Eve even came on the scene, because there could have been millions of years between animals being created and man being created. That's the old Earth theory. And then there are also Christians that hold to a number two, young Earth theory. If you're taking notes, you're writing that down. Young Earth theory. There's a lot of people who follow a literal six-day creation account. Six 24-hour periods of time. And these people would argue that the Earth is not millions of years old, but thousands of years old. They would argue that there's flaws with radiometric dating and that dinosaurs were actually roaming the Earth with the first family. And a lot of young Earthers would say this, that dinosaurs may have become extinct during or shortly after Noah's flood, when the waters were receding. And maybe that would explain why dinosaur fossils are at different layers of the Earth. There's two major theories. There's a lot more. Now, somewhat recently in 2005, there was a fascinating discovery in Patagonia, Argentina. And it was the fossil remains of a dinosaur called Dreadnoughtus. And I hope you write this down. I've got it on the screen for those of you in the room. I want you to Google it later. Like, don't just take my word for it. Really, really interesting find. Dreadnoughtus. Now, they found, in this case, dinosaur bones remains that were over 70% of the animal. That was a huge find, because in some cases they just find 15 or 20% of an animal like a dinosaur. In fact, when you go to a museum and you see that big like skeleton of a T-Rex, sometimes just three of those bones are real and they use imaging to make the rest. But in this case, what's really fascinating, over 70% of the remains they found. Not just that, they found this thing was huge. It weighed 65 tons, was heavier than a 737 plane. It was larger than seven T-Rexes. I hope you'll Google this later. Check this out. Its tail alone was longer than a city bus. Now, all this is amazing, but here's what was most fascinating to me. Scientists believe, so I'm not even just saying Christian scientists, scientists believe, you can read the articles for yourself, that one major cause of death was because of a, quote, raging torrent or large flood. Kind of interesting. Now, please hear me. Regardless of what theory you lean towards, like you need to know this. This is so important. Like, you can fully believe in God and the Bible and also use your brain, okay? I want to say that again. I wish you would amen me a lot better than a couple of people. You can believe in God, you can believe in the Bible, and still be smart and use this thing in your head, okay? Like, you can. In fact, if you study science, all different spheres of science, you'll find out time and time again that science ends up backing up the Word of God and what God has said from the beginning. It's really, really interesting. Now, I say all of that, and I know you want to know what I believe. Like, that's great, Pastor. I got my belief, or I'm trying to figure it out today, but what do you believe? What do you think, Pastor? And here's my answer. You're not going to like it. Just giving you a heads up. But here's my answer. I don't know. I don't know. Now, if you held me down and like threatened my life and twisted my arm and said, you got to give me an answer, like, I want to know, I would lean towards young Earth, but I don't know. There's people a lot smarter than me that got like doctorates upon doctorates upon doctorates that are old Earthers. And so I don't know. And here's the deal with a question like this. I'm glad you asked it. It's fun to talk about.
Some of you are going to research it further because it really gets your mind going. Some of you are done. You're already ready to move on to the next one. But regardless of where you land on a question like this, like research it. It's even good to debate a little bit in a nice way, by the way, amongst Christians. But don't forget about Jesus, okay? That has nothing to do with our salvation. Like, don't get sidetracked from Jesus. Can I get an amen in God's house? And so have a little fun with it, but let's focus on the main thing. All right, here's the third question of the day. And this question has actually been asked by more people than any other question because this question was on the ballot twice. And so when you add both weeks together, last week and the week before we started this series, this is the most asked question. And I got to tell you, I am so proud that you asked this question. Like I'm a proud pastor today, okay? I'm so glad that you asked this. Here's the question. How do we recognize God's voice? Like you can tell now why I would be a proud pastor, right? Like the pet question's great and dinosaur question's great, and we got some good ones for us to look at next week. But like this kind of question, like this is big, this is important. And so I'm so proud that you asked this question. And this question, it gives the assumption right from the beginning that God is speaking, but how do I recognize what he's saying? And honestly, that's rock solid theology. So I hope you'll write this down. If you let pride get in the way of you taking notes earlier, don't let pride stop you from writing this one thing down. You can keep this locked away the rest of your life, okay? This is rock solid theology. Here it is. There's a slide for it in the room. God is always speaking, but we are not always listening. We pray incorrectly so often. We pray, God, speak to me. And I can fall into that. But the truth is, God is always speaking. That is sound, rock-solid theology. The problem's with our ears, okay? And so we gotta recognize, as the question asks, God's voice. God is always speaking, but we are not always listening. If you got your Bible still with you and open, turn with me to the New Testament. We're going to be in John. John chapter 10. I encourage you to read all of chapter 10. I've preached on the tail end of it, but we're going to focus on a few verses this morning. John chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 3, go through verse 5, and I'm going to read out of the NIV. That's what I've been with all these scriptures. John chapter 10, starting in verse 3. This is Jesus speaking. In fact, in some of your Bibles, the word's going to be read. Here's what it says. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. John 10, verse 3. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, check this out, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger, so a different voice. In fact, they're going to run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus is teaching here in this parable. Again, I encourage you to study it in its whole and in its entirety on your own this week if you want to dig deeper. But Jesus is using an analogy here to describe his relationship, not religion, not church affiliation, his relationship with you and me. And so Jesus, in this analogy, in this parable, in this story, he, of course, is the shepherd, and we are his sheep. And Jesus says clearly, hear me on this, that if we're his sheep, we should know him and know his voice. That if we profess faith in Jesus, we should know him and know his voice. And this makes logical sense. You don't have to be a Christian to understand this. Like, think about it. When I call my wife, she doesn't have to see the caller ID to know it's me, right? She knows my voice. Well, how has she gotten to know my voice? Because we're in a relationship. We're close. We've been together for years. We've got children together. There's a deep bond between us. In fact, and if you're married, you know this. If you have a really close friend, you know this. If I called my wife and it even showed somebody else's name on the caller ID, she would still know instantly that it was me out of relationship. And I got to tell you,
this is attainable with God. It is. You can have that kind of relationship with God. And so I'm going to give you a few practical helps. I mean, it's very practical as we close this thing out. Practical helps for the many that ask this question, and I'm so glad you asked it. If you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, the closer you are, the better you'll hear God's voice. The closer you are, the better you'll hear God's voice. It's easier to hear God if you're close to God. And so this is where it gets real personal. If you're here today watching from another room and you feel like you can't hear God's voice, if you feel like you're not close to God, guess who moved? It wasn't God, it was you. So I can't hear God. I can't hear God. God's not moving away from you. We move away from God. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. You can correct that today. Like, you could have taken 1,000 steps away from God, but it just takes one step to get right back where you need to be. And so I want to challenge you. If you feel like you can't hear God, or if you feel like you can somewhat, but you want to hear more from God, get closer to God. Run after God. Spend daily time with God. Make church a priority. Get to know Him better, and then you'll begin to recognize His voice better. Number two, to hear God's voice, you have to turn down the world's volume. And this is for everybody in the room. This is not just for new believers, by the way. Can I talk to the seasoned saints that have been walking with Jesus for decades? Like, you need to get better at this too, okay? Like you need to get better at this. To hear God's voice, you have to turn down the world's volume. The truth is, and I'm in this boat, we all have way too many competing voices in our lives. And if you think I'm preaching to somebody else, you're wrong. I'm preaching to you, okay? Just like let you know that excuse is not valid today, all right? This ain't for your friend or your best friend or your spouse who you really wish God would do a work in their life, because they, like, this is for you, okay? This is for you. Like I call these voices, and I've heard it called this way, but these other voices, really we could put them this way, they are weapons of mass distraction. like we have, what did Jesus say? We have too many strangers' voices that we're listening to. We have too many other shepherds that have our ear instead of Jesus. And so let's be honest. We all watch way too much news, okay? If you think you don't, again, the problem's with you, not with somebody else. I'm in this. We all intake far too much media. We do. And so, yes, good theology. God is speaking, but we can't hear Him clearly because Netflix and politics and culture and social media are screaming in our ears. And if you aren't clapping, I'm just going to assume the Holy Spirit's convicting you right now. So sometimes we can't hear God because we've allowed other noises to deafen His voice. And so you got to make sure that God's voice is the loudest voice in your life. You got to make sure that other voices, this is a big one. God put this on my heart this morning for you. Like, this is a big one. We got to make sure that our own self-talk doesn't deafen His voice. We beat ourselves up, don't we, on the inside? I'm not good enough. I'm not godly enough. I got this. I mean, we are so hard on ourselves. We're so hard on ourselves. Now, you need to know this. God speaks in a variety of ways. His method of speaking varies. God's creative and doesn't limit Himself. Trying to help somebody today. And we find in the Bible, you know part of this, but you probably don't know the second part. We find in the Bible that God could even speak through a burning bush. A lot of you know that. Story of Moses. A lot of people don't know this part. We see in the Bible, and it's in there, I promise. But we see in the Bible that God could even speak through a donkey. Like God could even use an animal. Now, what I just shared with you, those two things are one-time things, more than likely. We don't see them in other places in the Bible. But God can also speak through different avenues. In fact, I'm going to give you some references really quickly. You may not even have time to write them down. You may have to rewatch this later on. But God can speak through dreams and visions. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. God can speak through people. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. A lot of people don't talk about this one, but this is so true. God can speak through promptings by the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 20, verse 22. And you're not going to like this last one, but I got to give it to you anyways. God can speak through our pain. Jonah. See Jonah. Read the book of Jonah. It's short, but it's powerful. We don't like that one, but God speaks that way as well. Now, that's not an exhaustive list. Somebody's going to call me afterwards or email, well, you didn't add this one. That's not exhaustive. Like, I'm just giving you a few big ones here. That's not every single way that he speaks. Now, the list you can see in the room, it's great, and I hope you're writing that down. If you got time, if not, rewatch that part so you can get that down. But I want to give you the primary, main, most reliable way that God speaks. Because here's what can happen. We have crazy dreams sometimes. And we're like, man, that must have been God. And God's looking down at us. No, that was the bad pizza you had last night. Or people do some really weird stuff and they say God told them. Okay? And so the ways that you can see, like you can make some mistakes there. So here's the most reliable way that you can hear from God. And this isn't specifically addressed in John 10, but we see it in 2 Timothy 3:16, amongst other places, many other places. Here's what it says. All scripture, the Bible, it's God breathed, like God speaking. And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So there's a reason, God says, the servant of God, you, me, that we would be thoroughly equipped for every good work. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this, and this is gonna be the best thing I'll say for some of you, especially some new believers. Number three, here's what I'm saying. When you feel like you can't hear God, read God. When you feel like you can't hear God, read God. Scripture is the primary and most reliable way to hear God's voice. In fact, if somebody ever tells you, including this guy on a microphone, if anybody ever tells you that they've got a word from God for you, if it does not back up what Scripture has already said, that person is wrong, God is right. In fact, the Bible tells us that we should check out things when a message like this is preached. Does it line up with what God has already said? And that will save you a world of pain, because I've had some people give me some words before that I smiled and I nodded my head, but I knew on the inside that does not match God's word. And so I can't wait for you to leave. Like, I'm thinking on the inside, like I just chuck it out. Like it goes in one ear and out the other ear. And so you've got to learn to do that too. Now, if it does line up with God's word, then let that affirm that word for you. When you feel like you can't hear God, read God. Some of you don't even know, like, this is so simple, but it's going to help somebody. Did you know your Bible app can read the word of God to you? Talk about an audible word of God. He can sound like Morgan Freeman if you want him to. Like, you got options. They can play like classical music in the background and it's all free. Like, I listen to the word of God through my Bible app many different times. That still counts, okay? Like spend time with God. Learn to read God's word, to know who he is and what he's about, to learn what his voice sounds like and the kinds of things that he wants to communicate to us, his people. I'll tell you this lastly, and then we're going to pray. If you feel like you can't hear God's voice, or if you feel like you can't recognize God's voice, 1 hour, one day a week on a Sunday is not cutting it for you. If I have a relationship with my wife for an hour a week on Sunday, do you think it's going to be a good relationship? So you wonder why you can't hear God's voice. You wonder why you're malnourished. It ain't because the preaching's bad, because the preaching's great here, okay? It's because you're not spending enough time with the Lord. And it's not hours upon hours, it's consistency. I see my wife every day. How often do you spend time with God? An hour a week's not cutting it. So if you truly, truly want to recognize God's voice, you got to be one of his sheep that's close with him. You got to be one of his sheep that turns down the world's volume. Like, it wouldn't hurt you to go 1 week without catching up on politics, you know? I know the election's coming up November 3rd. You should vote. We're going to vote. We're going to have voting here. Like, that's all important. But I don't think it would. I think it would actually probably help you, you know? Just to have a week where, you know what, God, this is your week. Like you're the answer, Jesus. Some of you don't like that, but it is what it is. Get closer to God, turn down the world's volume, and read God's word. If you'll do those three things, you'll recognize God's voice. That's it. Simple, practical. But it's up to you now. Because I ain't chasing you home today. I'm not going to be there tomorrow. As you work from home, do school from home, or if you're going in, it's up to you. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray for every single person. I pray, God, that we would draw so close to you that even as you whisper, as your word declares, that we would hear you loud and clear. I pray, God, that we would take the practical end of this message and we would apply it to our lives. To be your sheep, to know your voice, to know you. That even when other people, strangers, even when other shepherds try to come in to speak and pollute, that we would recognize it. It is what it is. That's not you, Lord. And that we would trust in you. I pray, God, that we would realize that you speak in many different ways and that we would not limit you because you are a limitless God. And that as you give visions and as you give dreams and as you prompt us, as you use people to communicate, I pray, God, we would match it up with your word. And if it lines up, that's affirmation that it's from you. I pray, God, that we would rise up and we'd be different than the world. Every eye closed, every head bowed. If you're here in the room, watching online, this is a moment for you to come close to Jesus. Maybe there's some things in your life that are not right. Maybe you're even caught up in secret addiction, secret sin that no one else knows but you and the Lord. This is a moment where you can lay all that down for Jesus. That you can invite him in to forgive you, to clean you up, to put your faith and trust in Jesus. In fact, I'm going to give you some words to say, and you can join many others these last several weeks who have been committing their life to Jesus. You can join them in committing your life to the Lord. But Romans chapter 10, verse 9 tells us that if we want to surrender our life to Jesus, we should confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. And believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And so right now, you can say those kinds of things to the Lord. You don't have to scream it. You can whisper it. But it's important that you confess that to God. And even now, you can tell him, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose from the dead. I put my faith in you. I want to be your sheep. I want to make you my shepherd. It's important that you ask him this. You can ask him, Lord, would you please forgive me of my sins? I can't fix myself. I can't earn or work my way to heaven. It's only by your grace. It's only by your grace. So would you forgive me of my sin? Would you make me new? Would you help me to live for you from this day moving forward? I give you my life. I make you my personal Lord and Savior. I begin a real, authentic relationship with you. To talk to you, to hear from you, to get to know you and to know your voice. That you would walk in front and lead me the rest of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ's Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.